Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
Any culture can be defined by what they celebrate and what they discipline. And this world today celebrates evil and disciplines good. Oh, Pastor, now that's an exaggeration. Oh, is it? Then why can't I pray in a public setting? Then why has prayer been taken out of school? What is good has been made evil, and what God calls evil has been made good. That's always been Satan's agenda, to have that war between good and evil. That's what he introduced to Eve in the garden, and that has always been his method of operation, that God should not be the one who establishes what is good and what is evil, that man should be able to determine what is good and evil for himself. That is the lie that Satan sold Eve in the garden, and it's the lie that is believed by many today. And when you peel back all the facade, and when you peel back all the layers of what's going on in the world, what you really see is a war that is between what God calls good and what God calls evil in opposition. That's the world we're living in right now. Well, if you're going to live word-based, if you're going to live kingdom-minded, if you're going to live counterculture, then number four, be ready to be persecuted. Now, I expect an amen on that. I don't even want to amen that. Don't nobody like being persecuted. Don't nobody want to get talked about. But you cannot live for righteousness according to Jesus and not be persecuted. That's why Matthew 5:10 says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The remnant church has got to be willing to take persecution. This is what has driven many in the body of Christ into silence. It's because they're worried about standing for the things of God because they don't want to be persecuted. They want to be accepted. They want to be popular. They want more friends on Facebook. I want more followers. Since when is your value found in followers? The Lord called me off social media on May the 4th, May 4th. And he may call me back on and give me liberty. I don't know. Right now I'm off, and I'm enjoying being off because I don't have time to be hearing all this mess. But, you know, it's a platform that I could use. And when the Lord calls me to use it, I'll come back. So I'm not anybody, oh, I got to go on Facebook. I ain't been on Facebook. This is the book I face. But the Instagram, I've been on there, and God called me off. And he told me to come off, and I'm off. I ain't telling you come off. Stay on there. You need to use that platform. Preach Jesus on that platform. I might be back. But when I was on there, I see folk that have 50,000 followers. And then you post something, and it's got 10 likes. Now, something ain't adding up. You do know you can buy followers. So if you get online and bought followers, why? Why would you buy followers? You buy followers because I look like I'm more than I am. If somebody sees my feed and I got this many, let me make you free. Your value is not in how many people follow you. It don't even matter how many follow you. Matter of fact, everybody that follows you might not even be your friend. I know I got some enemies following me because they might want to see what I'm up to. Let me tell you what I'm up to. I'm up to advancing the kingdom of God and preaching Jesus. That's what I'm up to. We got to get over this stuff. You can't be used by God when you're so worried about being acceptable to everybody. We got too many pretty preachers. You need to get ugly when you preach. My face is all messed up. I left worship, and even Henry told me, he said, "Pastor, clean your face up, man. I'm bawling in here in worship. I'm trying to clean things up. Man, I ain't got time to worry about what I look like, spitting all over the place, sweating off my forehead, my shirt about all wrinkled. I ain't worried about how I look. Ain't me looking cute and preaching the gospel." Sometimes you got to look mean and ugly when you preach the gospel. I ain't get up here in no proper language and get myself all together and my little notes all scripted out. No, I ain't got time for that. Take it, neighbor. Quit trying to be cute. If you're a preacher, you better not be trying to be cute. We don't need no cute preachers. We need crazy preachers, radical preachers, preaching preachers. Die to yourself so you can live for Jesus. Make a fool out of yourself so you can make him look wise. That's what Paul said. He said, "I'm ready to be called a fool that Jesus' wisdom might come forward." All right.
What y'all doing? Here we go. Number five. The remnant church is unashamed. Unashamed. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Quit being ashamed of the gospel. Quit silence in the gospel. Quit silence in your testimony. Do you know, when that turns from, I'm going to show you all this stuff in one spot. Do you know that the enemy's trying to kill your testimony? Would y'all go with me to Acts chapter 4? And I'm going to give you the sixth one real quick. The enemy wants to kill your testimony. If you're taking notes, I want you to write that down. The enemy wants to kill my testimony. And go with me to Acts chapter 4. Number six, the remnant church is courageous. We talked about that earlier. The remnant church is courageous. Write that down. Courageous. Are you in Acts 4? Church, hear me when I say this. The enemy wants to kill or silence your testimony. I was reading this recently, and you read the Bible, and you've been reading it all your life, and all of a sudden you read something you ain't seen before, and you're like, did they just put this in here? Is this a new version? I was reading recently, and I saw in the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter, and this, you got to hear this, and then we're going to read this, and it's going to all come together, where they tried to kill Lazarus. Do y'all know anything about Lazarus? Lazarus died. He was sick. And he was dead 4 days, and Jesus raised him up in John 11. In John chapter 12, they wanted to kill Lazarus, a man that had already died. Now, how would you like to be Lazarus? You're so sick, you die. Jesus raised you, and they try to kill you. You know why? John 12 says the reason they wanted to kill Lazarus was because many people believed on Jesus through him. Let that sink in for a minute. Many believed on Jesus through him. So the enemy said, I got to kill him because the testimony that Jesus did in him is making other people believe on Jesus. Do you know that God wants to take your testimony, that God wants to take your testimony, that God wants to take your testimony and use it so others can believe on Jesus? Therefore, the enemy wants to kill your testimony. He wants to silence your testimony. That's why the enemy is using anything and everything he can to kill the church, to make church illegal, to silence the church. Why? Because God is using the church, and his plan for the church is that the church be used to lead people to Jesus. If Lazarus was leading people to believe on Jesus and the enemy said, I got to kill Lazarus, then you better know whatever voice exists in the earth that is leading people to believe on Jesus, that is a voice that the enemy wants to destroy. The enemy wants to kill your testimony because it might make others believe. So watch this in Acts chapter 4, and you're going to see this world we're living in come alive right here in Acts 4. So let's look at it and start in verse number 7. Acts chapter 4, verse 7, you there, say amen. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, watch this. Because a miracle had been done. A miracle had been done. Can I show you the miracle? Look in verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word, what? Believed. And the number of the men was about what? So you had a 5,000 man revival break out in this city. 5,000 new believers in a moment. And they said, wait a minute, we done had 5,000 all of a sudden preaching this man Jesus. 5,000 that have changed the way they live. And so they brought the guys in. They said, by what power, look in verse 7, by what power and by what name have you done this? I know you didn't ask me that.
This is going to get good, church. Y'all got to hang on. I hope y'all ate before you came, man. This is good right here. Golly, this is good. Watch this. I got to get ready for this, man. It's powerful. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people, government power, and elders of Israel, religious power. Mm-hmm. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, the man that was lame, the man that was broken, if you're gonna examine us on how this man that was broken, if you're going to examine by what means he is made whole, because they saw brokenness turn into wholeness, and nobody was ever able to take such brokenness and see such wholeness come out of it. To the point that they had to bring these guys in and say, you got to explain to us how this went from that broke to that whole. And they said, now if you're going to ask us by what name and by what power you see this wholeness, because isn't that what everybody wants is wholeness? Another word for wholeness is peace. They said in verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Now, before you can testify of the wholeness that you witnessed Jesus bring to other lives, you got to have a testimony of the wholeness that Jesus has brought to your own life. And that's why we need to be made whole, and we need to have a testimony of that wholeness that Jesus offers us mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, relationally, that I'm made whole. And this wholeness that you see in my life is nothing more than a reflection of Jesus and his power in my life. If you see something in my life that looks whole, my marriage, my life, my health, my family, my faith, my finances, my love, if you see wholeness in my life, I'm here to tell you that if you examine me, if you look back across my life, if you look deep into my life, you will find through your examination that the only reason that I am whole is because of Jesus, who was crucified, who died for me, who was raised from the dead. By his power, I am whole. Isn't that good? Now watch this, because it's going to get gooder. Then they responded, I want to tell y'all some stuff so bad I can't tell you, because I can't tell people's business. But I'm going to say it like this. There are some miracles in this congregation that will blow your natural mind. It might be sitting three seats down from you because y'all are social distanced. You have no idea what God has done right here, sitting here today. You wouldn't believe the people that and what they've come through and the wholeness. You might not believe if you didn't believe in God and Jesus, his son, what God has done in some marriages here and in some lives here. We've got some folk that used to be deep in the street. They were deeper than asphalt, and today they're made whole. We've got some folk in this room right now that used to look at how they could take from people and steal from people and would lie to people, and it wouldn't even faze them. But today they walk in truth and they walk in love, and they're not what they used to be. There are some testimonies in here that would blow the natural mind. There are some marriages in here that would leave you wondering, how could you see such wholeness in a life? There's a testimony beside you that Jesus gets all the glory for. You couldn't explain it, because there's no program in the world that could offer such wholeness. There's no organizations in the world that could provide such leadership. It's Jesus. And what's amazing here is in verse 11, they look back at the religious and political crowd. And this is what they said. They said, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. Church, you got to hear what I am saying. I got such a conviction that we get this. I want you to hear what I'm saying. They looked at these leaders, these rulers that brought them in to be judged and said, by what authority, by what name are you doing these things? Are you talking about how did the man get whole? The man who you weren't able to make whole? The man who none of your programs was able to get off the street? The man who none of your programs got out of that condition? The man who through none of your programs changed his life? Is that what you're talking about? I'm going to tell you how that man who you couldn't make whole got whole, and it was through the power of Jesus Christ. And he said, oh, by the way, this is the stone you rejected. Stone, the chief cornerstone, is essential in building. It holds it all together. It holds it all together. I don't have time to explain the chief cornerstone, but it is the key, the stone that holds all the other stones in place. If you remove it, it all comes crashing down. And so he's speaking to the religious and the political leaders, and he's saying, this stone, Jesus, you've rejected. Now you're judging us for a man that's been made whole that you weren't able to make whole. Your religion didn't make him whole. Your power didn't make him whole. Your authority didn't make him whole. But we, in the name of Jesus, have seen him made whole. This is the stone that you've rejected. When you look at a society, when you look at a religion, when you look at an organization, when you look at a civilization, when you look at any government that will deny Jesus, that will deny his word, you reject the cornerstone. You reject the main thing that makes everything else work. So you take prayer out of school. What happened to the schools? Oh, they went down. You took Jesus out of school. What happened? Oh, things failed. You took God out of the public square. What happened? Oh, you tried to remove God from government. How'd that go for you? See, once you take the chief cornerstone out, everything begins to break down. You don't have nothing till you have him. He. The Bible says that I am complete. I am complete in him. You take him out of the equation. You don't have this marriage. You take him out of the equation. You don't see this man. Oh my God, what I gotta do? He is the cornerstone. He holds it all together. He is what you see good in me. There isn't anything if you remove him. And the sad thing is, he said, this stone you were offered, you rejected. I don't want a program. I don't want an organization. And I don't want a movement in my life that Jesus isn't the preeminent figure of. Because once you took Jesus out of it, I had a guy recently talk to me about some city programs because we're getting ready to launch a vision. A vision that I believe is going to change the streets of Shreveport. We're about to look at ministry in a whole new light. And I'm excited about what this ministry is getting ready to do in this city. And I pray that by next year, we have this vision written out and we're ready to cast it. There's some stuff happening behind the scenes that's not ready to come out yet, but it's coming. But I've been having conversations with individuals in the business sector, in the political sector. I've been having conversations with individuals about the uselessness of programs and how we need a movement that's just Jesus-centric. I had a friend of mine, Mike Johnson, tell me, he said, Pastor, he said, that's been tried. He said, I know a man that tried that. He said, but in order to get the endorsement, in order to get the grants, he couldn't make Jesus in it. He couldn't put Jesus in it. And we face this already as a ministry. I don't have time to tell you stuff that we've been told. You can't do that. You can't mix this and that. You can't do that. Oh, we can't send these backpack home with kids with this food in it because you got that brochure in there about Jesus. You got to take that out. That's a captured audience. You can't do that. And sadly, there are many churches and ministries that have said, okay, for the sake of government funding, we will do it your way, and we will silence our faith, and then we'll try these programs. When you take Jesus out, you are left with nothing. When we started Word of God Academy, I found out about all these funding and all this stuff the government would do and grants and this and that. And it would come to me and it would come in the mail and it would say, Pastor, if you do this, the government will sponsor so many kids. And I said, no, 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 no. Why? Because if you take their money, they want to come in and tell you you can't preach Jesus. They want to come in and tell you what you got to teach. And I'm not going to tell a little boy that he can be a little girl, because a boy can't be a girl and a girl can't be a boy. I'm not going to pervert the gospel for the sake of being funded by the world. Are y'all hearing what I am saying? You know, how about you? You're going extreme. I'm not going extreme. I'm telling you that what you're reading right here in the book of Acts is happening today. You got folk this year for singing out of a hymn book been arrested, where there's been city ordinances because of COVID that you can't sing. You better not even try to tell me I can't sing. Well, you can't sing because you might spread COVID. Oh, that's what you're saying. And you, so the folks saying that might be genuine. But the spirit behind that is not that you don't want me spreading COVID. You don't want me spreading Jesus. And I'm going to spread Jesus. Oh, my soul. We got to wrap this up. I'm screaming with you, baby. Come on. Verse 11, they say, this is a stone which was set at naught of you builders. You took God out of everything. Where'd it get you? Where'd it get you? I've had folk tell me, well, Pastor, I know we've been out of church, but, you know, I just got married. We're trying to get the marriage off to the right start. Wait a minute. You didn't just tell me. You're trying to build a marriage, and that's why you ain't been spending time at church in Jesus. In other words, Jesus, you're the chief cornerstone, but we're going to leave you laying over here while we go build something. Well, Pastor, we ain't been in church, but you know how it is building a house. And we've been building a house, and man, that's just a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job. And we've been so busy getting this house built, that's why we ain't been in church. But we watch the live stream. You watch the live stream. You might watch the live stream, or the live stream might actually be watching you. In other words, you're saying, I'm going to build something without Jesus. I ain't building nothing without Jesus. I should have got more of an amen in there. Here we go. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. Word of God Academy, a school that's Jesus-based. If you could see our test scores, if you could see it, and it's, I know it's on our website, it will blow your natural mind. The scholarships that our graduates are getting, where they're scoring on SAT, where they're scoring on ACT, what they're doing, it's beyond any curriculum or what's going on, at least in this area for sure. I mean, I don't have the numbers fresh on my head, so I'm not going to make up one, but it's astronomical. And there are some folk that won't put their kids in a Word of God Christian school because they say, and I've heard this, well, he's got to learn more than religion. More than religion. He ain't learning religion. He's learning a kingdom-based education. And the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So you're telling me that if I put my child in a school where there is no fear of God, they're going to get more knowledge than a place where there is the fear of God. You got that backwards. You can't have anything when you take Jesus out of it. You're not getting it at its best. This is the stone, verse 11, which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Why? Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's why I don't pray in your name. Cute little politically correct prayers. And your little business luncheon that you're going to Christianize. Thank you for coming to our fellowship today. We're just so excited about God's plan for our business and your involvement in that. Let us pray. Boom, 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 boom. In your name, amen. Because you don't want to offend somebody that don't know Jesus. In your name, who are you talking to? How are you going to call it Christian and you don't name Jesus? I don't want no prayer ever offered over me, and it won't be one offered in this pulpit. In your name, amen. Your name, who? Jesus is his name.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McMenis. Have a blessed week.